Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Welcome to Real Nerds live at Denver Fan Expo 2024. What a treat we have for you, because we're with artist extraordinaire and Colorado's own Travis Heimel. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. You are a professional liar. I am no extraordinaire.
Oh, you are. You are.
You're too kind.
No, you. I was walking past your booth at the beginning, and your art caught my eye immediately, because as you can see, I am a born in 81, but you know, the Ninja Turtles and stuff were part of my childhood. Yep. And what caught me at your booth is your ability to draw the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd walk by and I stopped. I'm like, and I did like one of those back.
You did. You did that exact little pose.
I did.
Mid jog.
I did. And I was like, and I went back. And then I also said, man, I should have him draw something for me. And you drew my favorite Mortal Kombat character, which is Cassie Cage. Yep. And you captured her perfectly, so I appreciate that. I show it to my wife, and my wife loved it too. And
oh, good.
So I appreciate that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, my art's a real crowd pleaser, you know.
Yes, and I can tell. It's great. And you, so you're Colorado's own, and I also found out, did you come from Louisiana to Colorado, or how take me on your journey to Colorado?
My origin story?
Yes, your origin story, yeah. Please.
So originally from Louisiana to New Orleans area. That makes it easy just for everybody. If you ask me, no one's ever heard of actually what little town I'm from. Anyway, so my wife and I, we moved to California from Louisiana. Stayed in around the San Francisco area for about 3 years. Then I had opportunity to move over here to Colorado. But originally, I just wanted to go back to home to Louisiana. But it's easy to sell stuff to me. My wife was like, look, I know you're depressed here, and I know you want to go back home to Louisiana, but there's a couple of things you should know about Colorado. Number one, there's a lot of breweries. Love beer, by the way. Love craft beer.
Perfect.
But, all right. And it's like, we can also get a dog. It's like, and like I'm a child. And again, of course, I said, well, okay.
Yeah.
You got me,
but,
yeah.
But, I mean, what else do you need in life but, you know, breweries and a dog?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I have two dogs and three cats, so, I mean, the cats are, like, my wife's thing.
But yeah.
The dogs, you know, you have to have them.
Oh, for
they're,
sure.
They're great. I love dogs.
For sure. And I was, you know, originally I was working in the graphic design field. Mm. And then as a hobby, I started doing comic books. And I always wanted to do comic books since I was a kid. You know, I would draw all kind of doodles. My dad would be, he was my artist I aspired to be, you know, as a kid before I could really think about, you know, famous artists or anything. My dad was my famous artist. Mm. He would draw the Hulk. I'd make him draw the Hulk because we would watch the Incredible Hulk TV show reruns together.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact about me, you know, of course, as kids, sometimes you believe what's on TV.
Oh, of course.
And my mom and dad both had to sit me there. It's like, you know, that's just an actor, and his name is Lou Ferrigno, and I was just destroyed. It's like, so you mean he doesn't turn into the Hulk? No, you mean there's no Hulk whatsoever? Okay. So, but I always wanted to be in comics, but, you know, growing up, you kind of had to do stuff to make sure you can get a career in. And I kind of went to the graphic design field, And I started to, in Louisiana, I started to attend a drink and draw out there. And there are also a bunch of guys in the comic book industry. And so they got me really hyped up and wanted to kind of pursue this again. I kind of pursued it more as a hobby and would do anthologies. So I would get involved and just kind of meet writers. And then from there, one story I did in particular, the writer liked it so much, he pitched it to Action Lab. And Action Lab Comics picked it up. And from there, I actually got more work just because someone else saw that eight-page preview or whatever you want to call it or sample. And I started working for Devils Do Comics. It was an anthology book for that called AOC and the Freshman Force and Bernie Sanders. Regardless of what your political affiliation was, it was...
It's a job.
My favorite thing is money. I think I told you that. I love money. Yeah. Need money.
Who doesn't?
I think it was a wedding singer. He's like trying to get his job. He's like, I need it. I like it. I'd like some, please.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, very good, though.
Good pull. Yeah,
yeah, good. Pull. One of my favorite movies.
I'm patting myself on the back as I go.
Nice.
So from there, I started getting Trailer Park Boys. So a Canadian TV show. There's also a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
Funny enough, when I was doing my research for it, I was like, I didn't know the movie was produced by Ivan Reitman.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. And actually, the first movie's pretty good. People should check it out. But after that, just recently, I've been getting some covers from IDW to do, just covers, but covers for the Saturday Morning Adventures featuring the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I've been doing that. Also, I've been inking over Phil Hester for a couple different projects. Phil Hester is an amazing writer and penciler, artist in general, and great human being. Really, really nice gentleman. But we just finished an eight-page story for the new Oni Press EC Comics, Epitaphs of the Abyss. Definitely stepped all over that, but Epitaphs of the Abyss. There we go. And it was really fun, really tense story I got to ink that Phil drew. I think it was Stephanie Phillips might be the writer, but I might be wrong, and I apologize.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I apologize in advance. But yeah, great little story. We have a few more projects I can't talk about that we're inking and working together on. And then next year... myself and Dave Dwanch, who's also from the Colorado area, he's co-written a book at Dark Horse called Jenny Zero. We have a book coming out Titan Comics next year around February called The Loose End, which is, as I call it, the Miramax movie that never got made, and features analogs of Hollywood types from Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Quentin Tarantino, and there is a Harvey Weinstein-like character. And the basic premise is there's an out-of-work screenwriter who has a ton of gambling debts and gets invited to a bachelor party through his Ben Affleck friend to this big movie producer. Well, the person he owes money to finds this out and actually wants this guy dead. And so now the screenwriter now has to go and kill this movie producer during his bachelor party. And if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong.
I love it. It's just something interesting. So you also ink, and one of my favorite artists is Sal Buscema.
Yeah.
Because I think he tells stories so well. But I have this book about him, and it's just an interview book.
Yeah.
And he talks about he likes inking more than he likes penciling. What do you prefer? Do you prefer penciling or inking?
I'd prefer to pencil and ink, but the nice thing about inking is, and I don't know if Phil would appreciate it, sometimes I think about it when I start. Like, I had to think about what I'm going to do. But once I get into it, my mind kind of shuts off.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, the little monkey probably clapping the cymbals while I'm doing this. And then I go back, and once I have all the framework, and then I kind of embellish and do what I can. But Phil's art's so clean and everything. If people go look at it, just his pencil, is very clean. So it's not like I have to do that much to help bring it to life and embellish it. But I would prefer to pencil and ink.
Yeah, because, you know, Sal always said that the job of the inker is not to add their own flourishes to it, but is to help bring the art together.
Yeah.
And so he always loved using a brush, too. And it's a really fascinating interview. because he's, I think he's a great penciler and a storyteller, because I think that's the most important thing with telling a comic book story too, is being able to make the sequence not be complicated. And there's a lot of artists who I think are great artists but aren't great storytellers. And how do you balance the two? Because I know the Marvel method is kind of gone now, and it's more of, hey, in this panel, it's this is happening, and this panel, that's happening. Or have you seen a mix of the two?
I've seen a mix of the two, but I think people have a misunderstanding about what the Marvel method is. And everyone who I've encountered that says that it's Marvel method and they want to try it, and when I say, okay, sure, and when I get a script, it's actually not really a Marvel method. Mm. Marvel method is typically you would get some kind of vague plot and a basic breakdown, and then it would be the artist's job to kind of flesh that out page to page, and a lot of the momentum of the story and the storytelling would be dictated by the artist. So, but you don't get that a lot, which is okay. Which is okay. A lot of the scripts I get are usually pretty tight. But I find, you know, going back to storytelling real quick, that's, I think, one of the most important things for a comic book. Michael Golden, I did one of his panels at Wizard World when they were still around. And it was like, it wasn't a breaking in panel. It was about storytelling in comics. Yeah, that's what it was. And one of the things I will always remember, he's like, if there's anything you need to remember, is that people are stupid. And it's not to, like, to offend anyone.
No.
But what he's saying is the reader doesn't exactly know what you're trying to get across to them. So it has to be clear. And he was talking about he used to be in the design field himself in advertising. I think he was telling a story where he had to do something where it was for a company like Beanie Weenie. He had to do, his assignment was he had to make an illustration or something for that brand that made sure it conveyed something that was easy to make and delicious. And of course, that's the challenge there.
Yeah.
But it has to be clear to whoever is grabbing this can of whatever off the shelf that conveys that. And you can apply that to comics. So, like, you know, if you have a guy, you know, you see a guy on a building and then you go in closer into his eyes and then just speed lines. You don't really know what's going on, you know. So that's very important. And that's something I've been priding myself on with my comics. I even try to take it over to the Ninja Turtle covers that I did. So there's one in particular for the Saturday Morning Adventures. I think it's number 8. And it features a character who has like a one-time appearance. His name is Mr. Og, and he's like the Mr. Mixelpick of the TMNT universe. So he's reality bending and whatnot, and fourth wall breaking. And I was given a premise that this is more Marvel style, because I was given a premise of what happened in the issue. But what I interpreted, since he's breaking the fourth wall and taking it out on the turtles, because the turtles apparently in this issue have been doing too much fourth wall breaking. So he's punishing them, and so he takes the turtles in my cover and turns them into Playmates figures and is playing with them. And I decided to make Mr. Og like a little child, or like me playing with my figures. So you even have some like bed sheets from the Ninja Turtles making their appearance, the party wagon, and a few other little odds and ends that are nods to the Turtle franchise and merch from that time.
And I think that's so important too, because like I said, your storytelling has to be so clean.
Yeah.
And when you see that, and I told you that earlier, that I saw that and I'm like, yeah, exactly. Because you know what you're conveying, even though it's a cover.
Yeah.
I know what's happening in this story. You know, I know that they're being messed with and there's a fourth wall being broke, because you're bringing in the meta in the details, which is so important. You know, and I always give hats off to comic book artists, because you know, when I was young, too, I always wanted to be a comic artist, because I took drawing classes and in high school, and I was good, but then I realized I didn't like drawing trees. I didn't like drawing benches.
That's where you drew the line? Trees.
Yeah, exactly. I said, but if I could just draw Spider-Man in every frame and nothing behind him, then I'd be set. But there's a discipline to being a comic book artist that I think is lost on a lot of people, and it's, you know, the sense of what's in the frame. I mean, I don't, you know, little frame, and you still have to have a character, maybe two. You have to have a background.
Yeah.
And then I always thought it was hard. In the next frame, the character has to look the same, and the background has to be the same. And for people like you, I think it's astounding the discipline and how well you tell the story that way?
It's practice. It's sequential. And just for people at home, like when we say sequential art, that's just fancy term for comic book art. And to boil it down, all the comics are is basically you are trying to break down a script into basically almost like still frames of a movie or cartoon, however you want to say that. But you still have to be able to convey these stories or what's going on in these panels from panel to panel clearly, so the reader can understand what happens even without the word balloons, or at least be on track. You might never know someone's name, but you can at least tell, like, Spider-Man's trying to save the day and he's trying to rescue a random citizen off the ground from getting hit by the car, or something like that, you know?
Yeah, and because there is an art to it, because my son is 9 and he's starting to learn how to read comics. And for me, because he likes aliens.
Yeah.
And it's hard for him because, not that the comics are bad, but they're so dense. And, you know, I'm trying to teach him how to read them the proper way. So those, you know, the Saturday morning cartoon stuff is really good for him. I started getting him Spidey Super Stories.
Oh, those are fun, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like, you know, I said, you know, buddy, when you read it, remember, you're going left to right. But also, sometimes they break it up, but you're always going top to bottom.
Yep.
And there is an art to reading comics, and that's why I think people like you are so important to the medium to be able to tell a clear story. And, you know, so the action scenes, when you write or draw them, those are seems to be the ones where they get the most convoluted. And how do you stage a fight? And put it on page, do you reference photos, or do you watch a movie, or is it all in your incredibly sharp head?
A ton of, it's very dull, I would do it. I use a ton of reference, first of all. But when I try to do it, I'm using air quotes, the Marvel method that we were talking about earlier, I will try to use less panels on those pages to give, like, if someone's getting hit, a little bit more time to breathe and move on. I don't try to clutter. I do find the fight scenes that don't work as well the more panels on the page, because it moves too fast. And you kind of need a little bit to breathe depending on what the page calls for. But I like to kind of give a little bit more room to breathe. There's a few times, like, I've done a fight scene where I even reference a few other artists. Alex Toth, who worked for Hanna-Barbera, mm-hmm. and he also did a ton of DC comics. There's a great Black Canary comic he did. I forget when it was or what issue, like if it was like a showcase or something. But there's a great fight scene that he has where you see Black Canary, she gets like tapped on the shoulder, and he breaks down almost in 3 panels, all in sequence on the same row, and she grabs a hand. You see her grab, and then mid-flip is the second one, and then him on the floor. And it's almost like animation, the way he does it. And it's just enough room between each little motion that you understand, and it has a second, and then that's all you needed. Just those 3 little panels side by side like that. So I kind of take notes, and I try to do that for my fight scenes as well.
Yeah, and, you know, because it was my piece you made for me, like, so Cassie Cage, I can tell in just your one figure you drew that she's ready to do something to something off panel. How do you convey that tense in their, how they're standing? It blows my mind.
Over exaggeration.
Okay.
Because if you think about a normal person, you know, if they were like, say, Cassie Cage, so I drew this commission and people aren't going to see this commission. Cassie Cage has a couple guns in her hands and she's kind of looking off over her shoulder and in a kind of a battle stance. And I've very exaggerated. But say if someone like heard a noise and they were reacting to it, they're not going to have this exaggerated stance in real life. They're not going to probably react the same way. In comics, it's like theater. Yeah, a lot of you watch a theater actor versus a movie actor. Theater actors are way more expressive with their movements. And the reason they do that is because people on the back aren't really going to see the performance, so they exaggerate what they're doing, and that's also what they do with their actual acting. So essentially, even when I'm drawing these people, it sounds really pretentious, but these are actors I'm drawing, and they have to convey that like I was saying earlier, without word balloons, so people can do that. So even if, like, if it's a static figure, I think you should have a little bit of storytelling to at least be like, oh, they're high on alert, right? They're about to be in a fight or something's happening, and it makes it exciting. And I think that's what comics or even illustrations should have, a little bit of storytelling to it to make it interesting for the reader or viewer.
And that's, you know, why I know it's, you know, my piece and I love Cassie Cage, but I loved it so much because you gave me that. And I'm thinking as I'm looking at her, I'm like, she's about to, like, fuck something up. Yeah. Like, I just feel it in, and, like, her, I don't know how it just conveyed so well, and the muscles, they feel like they're tense.
Yeah.
Even though I just, you know, that's what blows my mind in art, in comic book art, is you can tell that she's flexing and you can tell that she's ready.
Yeah.
And it plays so well. So hats off, man. It's so
appreciate
cool. It's so cool to see. And what artist inspired you? You said your dad. So was your dad a comic book artist? Or?
No, he was just... He's barely a blue-collar guy who loves his kid.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was also very encouraging, by the way, too. I don't want to leave her out because my dad was not a geeky kind of guy. He was very guy's guy, but, you know, again, loves his kid.
Yeah.
And you know, I asked someone to draw, and the only one who could draw in the house was really my dad.
Oh, cool.
And my dad, of course, is going to oblige and do that for me. But my mom is actually more of a geek, and she actually pushed more comics on me as a kid and encouraged me to do it. Not that my dad didn't, but my mom would probably be just as much that push for that. But in terms of, like, artist influence overall, I would have to say it comes and goes, because I could give you a list and it depends on what I'm feeling. As of right now, even before I was inking him, Phil Hester was an influence. Darwin Cook.
I see Darwin Cook in your art.
Yeah, thank you. Darwin Cook, just because I naturally want to draw cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
When I was doing stuff for Devil's Due, I did, like, an indie book called Arc World. And then when I moved into Trailer Park Boys, which was around the same time I was working on Arc World, that Devil's Due kind of calls for a little bit more realism,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's not that I can't do it, but it's not my native state.
Yeah.
Or is, again, super pretentious, so I probably sound.
No.
But I like cartoony. Yeah. When now that I haven't been really doing some stuff for Devil's Due, and I did some kind of cartoony 87 style turtles, I've been going back to a cartoonier style. So I think Darwin Cook, Phil Hester, it's kind of a combination of, like, Jack Kirby and Will Eisner.
Mm. Oh,
yeah. I also love Ryan Otley's stuff. Chris Samney is a big influence as well. Very, very beautiful, like, work. If people haven't read Firepower yet from Skybound, you should check it out. If you like kung fu action movies, you'd like Firepower. But I'd say, and Alex Toth. Alex Toth is another huge influence. So, like, later, sometime this year, I'm slowly building to, I'm going to have my own Kickstarter.
Cool.
And it's going to be for a book called Start Your Engines. And Start Your Engines is, if I was going to give a basic elevator pitch, is like if Johnny Quest had Speed Racer as his cousin.
I'm sold.
And he goes on adventures as well. Or Johnny Quest meets Hot Wheels.
I love
it. So a stuntman slash race car driver who goes on adventures. And the first book will be around 50 pages and features two-in-one stories. It's obviously going to be a first book or a book one, but it's not going to be like an overlapping arc that's going to keep on going. It's part, you know, one of the stories is just going to end, takes place on the racetrack to introduce you to, his name is Dare Darrington, and introduce you to Dare. And the second one is going to be the kind of the aftermath of that, but you're going to be introduced to where his new training facility is and happens to have a new neighbor, and the new neighbors are dinosaurs.
Nice.
So kind of, again, action, it's a love letter to books I like action adventure stuff, and I wanted a book to be out like this, and I'm going to make that book. And I'm planning on at least having at latest maybe the Kickstarter in October, November, but things keep getting pushed back due to work coming in. And as we talked about, love money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love money.
Take the money first.
Yeah.
Take the money first. That's awesome. Cause I was on your Instagram page and I love your time-lapse stuff.
Oh, thank you.
And, you just said the dinosaur thing. One of my favorite pieces is Rogue punching through a dinosaur.
Oh yeah.
That was pretty badass.
I have a Twitch stream, which I've been neglecting. And I did that. I was doing that on Twitch stream live, and you can, if I get back to it, it would just be me rambling on about stuff while I draw stuff. But I really need to get back to that. I would say like that was like the, that was maybe 20, 22, 23, but I made those into time lapse, and they're fun. They're fun to post on there. Clip Studio, I'd work digitally. Usually, pencils and ink might be all digital, and Clip Studio has a cool feature where I can make, a time lapse like that.
Oh.
So I really enjoy that. So when I do want to do something more traditional, and like you saw, I had traditional work too.
Yeah.
I would do like a hybrid method, which is basically I would print this, print what I just did out on a board. Then I would take that board and ink on top of it traditionally. I would use brush. I do use brush pens and microns. If you're familiar with those, or people who are art nerds and art supply nerds, just different technical pens I would use. But that's how my workflow is, what I would use.
It's a really cool page, and I got sucked into it for like hours.
Thank you.
Just because I do love the process of drawing. Frank Cho has a great page too.
Oh yeah.
What I like about his page too is he does it. He breaks it down and he says, "This is why I draw it this way," and this is. You know, he does it through the anatomy, and he puts the muscles on first, and then he erases it, and then goes back through, and it's a really cool method.
Yeah.
And he you know, he's someone who's never been, technically trained, and to hear him talk is fascinating to me.
I think he had a start where he was in a medical background or something
really?
In college, and then he started to do cartoon strip, and I think, what's a cartoon strip? Oh, it was on the tip of my tongue, but he was doing a cartoon strip for the longest time, and I can't think of the name of it, but then he started getting work from Marvel from that. But yeah, he started out with just doing like studying medicine, I believe, or something in that field, if I'm not mistaken. Frank Cho, let us know.
Yeah.
When you hear it,
email me. Yeah. No, so it's just cool, and I love just hearing your process, because I think comic art is so beautiful to me, and I want people to know the effort that people put into drawing it, because it's not just something you can be good at. It takes a lot of work, and like I said, I didn't want to draw trees, and you know, that's, and you mentioned, you know, the Trailer Park Boys, you have to draw likenesses.
Oh,
which is, I guess, is a whole new, not fun thing.
I stopped thinking about that, actually, because people have asked that before, and sometimes I just have done it to the point where I do my version of them.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't want to do a full-on super realistic, but it would be more matching some of their shape of their heads and getting that right and getting their silhouette that you would kind of recognize. And that's kind of a cartooning thing, too, is when you create characters, you would try to have an interesting silhouette to that character, so that's identifiable. Like, think about, like, Sonic the Hedgehog. Obviously, you could tell if it was just a black silhouette. That was, like, that's Sonic. That's, or maybe that's Batman. I mean, Batman, you know, as soon as you see the little ears, that's it.
You know, you said something, because I had Georges Genty on here, and he drew Buffy forever. And he said the same thing. He said, if you want someone to look realistic, don't come to me. Mm-hmm. But if you want someone to look comic booky and kind of look like them, then you can come to me.
Yeah.
And I think it actually helps the medium, because I want them to be comic book.
Yeah.
And I want it to have like the exaggeration that, you know, you won't get on a subtle TV show or a movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Trailer Park Boys have unique qualities to them, which helps identify them, which I agree with you 100%.
There should be a compromise. Some kind of compromise in what you're doing, trying to illustrate to get that point.
I agree. Well, Travis, you've been really generous with your time here.
I try.
And I appreciate, and I really enjoyed meeting you this week. Your art is fantastic.
Thank you.
Before we get out, if you want to tell everybody where we can find you on Instagram and all that stuff.
You can find me on Instagram and X at Travis_Hemel. That's HYMEL. That's right. You probably weren't thinking that's how it was.
I know.
Spelled.
I was like, oh man.
It's HYMEL. So again, Travis_Hemel, HYMEL. Be on the lookout for the EC Comics Epitaph of the Abyss. I think I did it that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pick that up. And then be on the lookout for the Loose End coming out in February from Titan Comics next year.
That's so awesome. I already had Epitaph of the Abyss on my poll. And now that you're there, it makes it even better.
Yeah.
So thanks for stopping by.
No,
I appreciate it.
Thanks. A real nerd knows who shot a real nerd.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!